He's giving them promises. In this case, he is reminding them that we serve a great God. Amen? Aren't you thankful we serve a great God? And he is. And here in chapter 10, verses 14 to 18, where we finished last week, Moses just stops in the midst of these warnings and promises and says, by the way, the God that you serve, the God that you're going to serve in the promised land, is a great God. Look at verse 14. He says, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth and also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. So we'll stop there, and our title is A Great God. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord. Tonight we just want to exalt your name. Exalt who you are as we look at this wonderful passage of your greatness, your mightiness, and I pray that it would stir our hearts as we talk this morning to praise you more for who you are. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and pleased and guide us and speak to each of our hearts through your precious and powerful word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Seven attributes that Moses reveals tonight in this short passage about our God. And each one should remind us how blessed we are that we found him. When someone shared the gospel with us, we found the God of the universe. We found the Creator. We found the great God. Amen. So the first thing that he points out is that our God is omnipresent. Behold, the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. Look at Jeremiah 23:24, and we'll see this. Our God knows everything and is everywhere. Jeremiah 23:24, if you would. The Bible says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? God's everywhere. Let's never forget that. Amen. When the devil tempts us to sin, God is there. When we're tempted to pull away from God, God is there. He's everywhere. And he wants Israel to remember, when you go into the promised land, God is there. God is everywhere. God knows everything and he's everywhere. So serve him. Amen. In the same verse, he's also pointing out that the Lord, number two, is also sovereign. So, you know, the world wants us to believe that God is a passive God, that he's just sitting on a throne in heaven with this long beard and just kind of sits back and lets things happen as they will. But that's not God. God is not only everywhere, but he's also sovereign over the creation that he made. In other words, he's in control. He is the king of his creation. As he said there, everything belongs to him. Amen. It says the heaven of heavens and the heaven is the Lord's. The earth, he owns everything. He is sovereign over his creation. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 4. And he wants them to remember this also when they go into the promised land, that God made everything, but he's also in control of everything. So I've already told you that I will go with you into the promised land. Therefore, I will, because I'm in control. I am sovereign over my entire creation. Therefore, if I promised I'll give you the land, I'll give you the land. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. God is sovereign. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So he's pointing out God is not only everywhere, but God is sovereign. In other words, God is in control. There's no surprises to God. He does not just sit back and let things happen. He is in control of His creation, including us. He is sovereign. Now, He did give us a free will, but at the same time, He doesn't just let things happen. He makes things happen. He is sovereign. And then He reminds them, verse 15 of our passage, He says, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. This great God that I'm expounding upon today, Moses said, remember, He chose to love you. You did not choose to love Him. And it's the same with us. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. We're not going to heaven because we loved God, are we? We're going to heaven because God loved us. Now we love God now, hallelujah, because He's our Savior, He's our friend, He's our God, He's our everything. But we aren't going to heaven because we loved Him. He chose us. When Christ died on the cross, He began to reach out to the world and continues to do so. And the day that we trusted Christ, the love of God shone through and we were saved. Look back at Deuteronomy 4, verse 37, where God again reminds His people that His love for them had nothing to do with them and everything to do with God. And it's the same with us. God doesn't love us because we're lovely. He loves us because He's love. Amen? Deuteronomy 4:37. Because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them and brought thee out in His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt. God chose to love Israel. But not because they were lovely. They were actually a bunch of rebels. God chooses to love us, and not because we're lovely, but because of who He is. And so this omnipresent, sovereign God also reminds them in verse 17 that He is the only God. And this is important this day and age, isn't it? Because we've got a billion people teaching, know that the God of the Bible isn't the God of the universe, that His name is Allah instead, and He wrote a different book which superseded the Bible, and a billion people follow that. And then you've got another 2 billion people that believe that there are multiple gods, that there are gods everywhere. But the God of the universe is the only God. Amen? He says, the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. In other words, He is the only God. He's the God of gods. There is no other God but the God of the Bible. Isaiah 44:6, if you want to turn there. These last chapters of Isaiah, over and over again, God makes it clear He is the only God. Of course, we as Christians understand this, but the world doesn't understand this. The world just wants to believe, oh, there's just many ways to heaven, and there's many different types of God, but we're all just after the same thing. Until you're willing to recognize that there's only one God, and He's the God that revealed Himself through His Word, you cannot be saved. You can't go to heaven. Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. That's pretty clear. So this God that's omnipresent and sovereign, He's reminding Israel, you're going to go in there, and these nations that you're going to dispossess are going to try to tell you that there are other gods, because they've been worshiping these other gods. And when He gave them the Ten Commandments, what was the first one? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Amen? Worship no other God, because there is no other God. And He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. Which means there is no other God and no other Lord other than the God of the Bible, the God of the universe. So He is omnipresent, He's sovereign, and He is the only one. Number four, He is, verse 17, a great God. Now we could spend the whole night here, couldn't we? God is a great God. Look at Psalm 95, verse 3. And the same God that Moses is reminding God's people about is the same God that we serve. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same God. Psalm 95, verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He's a great God. In Titus 2:13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's Titus 2:13. Great God and our Savior. So the God of the Bible, the God that's about to take them into the promised land, the God that we serve and has saved us and given us eternal life, is omnipresent. He's sovereign. He's the only one, and he's great. Amen. He's not only great, though. Verse 17, he's mighty. He's the mighty God. Now look at Isaiah 10 and verse 21. By the way, Isaiah 10, 21 would be a good verse to put in your Bible in case you end up witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness. Because if you choose to go to Isaiah 9, 6, which is a very good verse for a Jehovah's Witness, unto us the son is born, a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Every time you show that to a Jehovah's Witness, you know what they're going to tell you? Yes, it says Jesus is the Mighty God, but he's not the Almighty God. That's going to be their answer, because that's what they've been told over and over again. So when that happens, you bring them over here to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 21. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Here it's referring to Jehovah as the mighty God. So if Jesus is the mighty God of Isaiah 9, 6, then Jesus must also be Jehovah. But anyway, he is all powerful. He is the mighty God. Look at Revelation 19, verse 6, if you would. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. It says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Omnipotence is actually a Bible word. Omni, meaning all, potent, meaning power. He's all powerful. Amen. Our God is mighty. He is powerful. He is great. He's the only one. He is omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign. And verse 17 of Deuteronomy 10, he is terrible. Now, that's not one you might expect in the seven. But Moses wants them to remember this God that loves you, that chose to love you, this God that's going to take you into the promised land and who can do anything and knows everything and is everywhere. He's also terrible. Now, they didn't understand eternal security. They probably didn't even have it back then. We do, hallelujah. But we want you to understand, Moses is saying, when you go in there, if you choose to turn your back on God, he's a terrible God too. And he has the universe at his disposal. And if he wants to, he can bring his wrath down upon your head. Aren't you thankful for eternal security? Aren't you thankful that all your sins are forgiven, because we don't get what we deserve? But look at Psalm 89:7. David understood this, and he used the word reverence here. Psalm 89, verse 7. What does that mean? It means ultimate respect. Psalm 89, verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. So it's not talking about the unsaved here, is it? Feared in the assembly, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. God is also terrible. And again, it's not a word that we hear that often, but look at Matthew 10:28. Jesus tried to explain this to the Jews. They didn't get it, because they kept bringing up the devil. They kept bringing up Beelzebub and so forth. And look what Jesus told them here in Matthew 10:28. "Fear not them which kill the body," talking about man, "but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." He's also a terrible God. Not in the sense of a cruel, terrible, but in the sense of hell's a terrible place. Eternal punishment is terrible. And as God, as it says here, only God can send someone to hell. Now, it's by choice that people reject Christ and will go there. But trust me, they will have no trouble understanding the terribleness of God while they're burning in hell, will they? Look at a couple more. Hebrews 10:31. The Bible says it is a fearful thing. Hebrews 10:31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is omnipresent and sovereign. He's the only God, and He's great and mighty, but He's also terrible. He is, look at Hebrews 12:29 while you're in Hebrews. Just seven words, but look what it says. For our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Just makes us that much more thankful for salvation. Amen. God is a terrible God as well. He's mighty, but He's also terrible. A great God, a mighty, a terrible. And then He finishes. So number one, He's omnipresent. Number two, He's sovereign. Number three, He's the only God. Number four, He's great. Number five, He's mighty. Number six, He's terrible. But number seven, God is just. Look at it, verse 17. Which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. The world doesn't talk enough about the justice of God. That sin has to be punished. And the only one that can do the punishing is the judge. Amen? That's why whenever you witness to people, you start with sin. We're all sinners, and that we owe a debt. There's consequences for being a sinner. The wages of sin is death. God is a just God. Sin has to be punished. And man, the only way man can pay for it, if you will, is to go to hell forever and ever. Aren't you thankful that God loved us enough to become a man himself and pay the price? And that His justice was satisfied. The Bible says God is the judge in Psalm 75, verse 7. Psalm 97, verse 2. Righteousness and judgment are in the habitation of His throne. God is the judge. We're all going to face a judgment. The judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved. And the great white throne judgment, if you're not saved. But He is the judge. He is just. Look at Romans 2:11. And as a judge, He is a perfect judge. He never brings unfair judgment. It's always right. And that's why it tells us here in Romans 2:11, there is no respect of persons with God. You can't buy this judge off, can you? No respect of persons. God doesn't look down and say, oh, wow, aren't you amazing? He doesn't look down and say, wow, you're a billionaire. I'll let you go to heaven because of that. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? No respect of persons. We're in God's sight. Until we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're all wicked sinners that deserve to go to hell because we've broken His law. He's a judge. He's just. The day we get saved, all that sin gets placed on Christ. Hallelujah. And right, Christ's righteousness gets placed on us. It's definitely not fair, but it's a blessing to us. Hallelujah. So before they go in, He just wants to remind them. He's got some other promises to give them, some other warnings. But He says, listen, the God that has brought you from this point, from Egypt, that has rescued you, that has taken care of you in the desert, He is a great God. He's a mighty God. He's a terrible God. He's a just God. And He is, as He says, He's sovereign, He's omnipresent, and He is the only one. Remember this, Israel, when you go in. That the God you serve is the God of the universe. And He needs to be held in reverence. So we, as we talked this morning, we need to spend more time praising Him. Not only for what He's done, but for who He is. Amen? Because remember what we saw around the throne? Thou art worthy. That's more about God's worthiness, more about God's person, more about God's character than it is about what He's done. We're going to praise Him for both, obviously, that He saved us, but we're going to also praise Him for who He is. That the God of the universe is holy. The God of the universe is just. That He's powerful. that He knows everything, but He's also loving and merciful and gracious and so forth. I'm going to praise Him for His person. And Moses wants them to get that. A great God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we love You and we are so thankful that You are the great God of the Bible. And that, Lord, because someone cared and shared the gospel, we found You. And Lord, now we just praise You for who You are. May we do that every day. Praise You for who You are. And not forget that You are the mighty God. You're also the terrible God and the just God. And may we live our lives accordingly. We love You so much and we thank You in Jesus' name.